Tyler Sickmeyer and Tyler Smith coming at you live on WordPress Radio, which is always a dangerous thing to do when you get the two Tylers together. Sickmeyer, first of all, congratulations on your IBL championship. Since we last had you on the show, you went on and got a title with the Kankakee Soldiers. Congrats on that.
Thank you, sir. It was a Friday championship game that one of the best that no one ever saw. The game was played on a neutral court, which is a recipe for disaster in minor league basketball because no one in the town of Battle Creek, Michigan really could have cared about a team from Gary, Indiana, and a team from Kankakee, Illinois, playing for a IBL championship. But nonetheless, despite the lack of enthusiasm from the crowd of 50 or so in a big arena, it was still super sweet to win a championship at that level. I mean, we're talking playing against guys that are getting NBA looks and to come out and win a trophy and win a championship for a town that it really means a lot to because of our place well back home. Really meant a lot. So really cool experience and very blessed to have been a part of it.
Yeah, you know, you can kind of relate it to this podcast a little bit. Who knows how many people out there are actually listening, but hey, we're going to have a heck of a time doing it, right?
Absolutely. And actually studying this show, when I'm on the air, your ratings jump 1,000%. So I'll expect a little bit of a kickback from your advertisers this time.
Oh, we'll work on that. I'll get my publicist on that. Hey, I'm sure you're having a blast with your new teammates, but I'm also sure that you can agree that nobody, no teammate you've ever had gives better bedtime stories than me, your former teammate at Lincoln Christian. Am I right on that?
I'm not sure if it was the bedtime stories or just you running through my dreams at night, but either way, I always slept soundly at Lincoln Christian.
Well, it's good to have you on the show. For those of you listening to the podcast and aren't familiar with Mr. Sickmeyer, anytime we bring him on the show, we just like to shoot the breeze on the sports world in general, and today we've got three main topics, and we're going to begin talking about the NFL playoffs. Now, Sick, I ended up taking the Lakers and Celtics to once again meet in the finals, though at the time I said I didn't really like either team, and I said I hoped I was wrong on those predictions, but at the time I just couldn't see myself picking anybody else. The Celtics still have a shot, but of course the Lakers are done. They just got swept. The Celtics are currently down 2-1 to the Heat. Now, my question to you is, who did you pick before the playoffs started? And don't lie to me now. And who are you picking now?
I picked Chicago Memphis. No, I'm just kidding. I had the Bulls and Lakers making the finals. I really felt good about the Lakers coming out of the West just because they came out so strong after the All-Star break and really seemed to feel like they found that groove that teams in the NBA, at least the good teams, if you look back at the Spurs and the years they won the title, and Lakers teams of past, and even the Bulls teams during their heyday, would find mid to late season. It's an 82-game season. You're not going to be 100% all the time. You're going to have to overcome injuries. You're going to have trades. You're going to have – it's going to take up to the 60 to 70 game marks in some seasons to find your groove as a team and to really get into sync, and I thought that was just going to be the case with the Lakers this year, that they'd finally taken it off autopilot, and that was the end of the story. And then I grew a little bit worried when Chris Paul gave them that much trouble, and here's the problem with the Lakers, and what they're going to have to figure out moving forward is they are so terribly weak at the two most critical positions in basketball, which is the point guard and the center spot. And I like Andrew Bynum. I think he's got a lot of potential, but he has a lot of growing up to do. And he is not nearly as dominant as he could be. I mean, really, if you look at him, he is the second biggest guy in the league besides Dwight Howard, who I think, by the way, that the Lakers are going to trade for once the lockout ends. But, again, thinking of an aside, they're so terrible at the point where someone like Chris Paul can just destroy them, and that's why they had so much trouble with a vastly overmatched Hornets team, because Chris Paul literally carried them to a couple of wins in that series. And then against Dallas, I have no answer for you other than Dallas is just getting hot at the right time, which to me makes them probably the most dangerous team in the playoffs, because ever since they got blown out at Portland, they've just kind of steamrolled their way through these last six wins. So I feel really good about Dallas right now. I love watching Oklahoma City and Memphis play. I think that's really the series in the second round as far as entertainment value goes. And the Bulls are going to let the Hawks stick around for a minute. That series is a little more interesting than it should be. And I disagree with you on your Celtics pick. I still think that they're going to lose to the Heat in spite of Chris Bosh and how terrible he is. I love the Twitter jokes. I don't know if you've seen them. Just everyone putting random Christophers or Chris's as greater than Chris Bosh. I think messing with Christopher Reeves is greater than Chris Bosh. And at times it certainly looks like it, including today. And I saw a quote tonight just that he was actually intimidated by the Celtics pregame rituals at the Garden. And I'm sorry, but as a basketball player, I love playing on the road in front of people that hate me. I would rather play in front of 10,000 people that want nothing more than for me to lose than play in front of 500 people at home cheering for me every time. And I think any truly competitive basketball player would agree with that. So it kind of concerns me that Chris Bosh is just so out of his element playing in one of the basketball meccas on the biggest stage. That's going to cause some problems for the Heat. But ever since the Celtics traded Kendrick Perkins, I just don't see them being a legitimate title contender because they're going to get abused down low at some point.
Yeah, I don't know. You talked for a long time there, so I'm trying to regroup my thoughts. Just kidding, of course. You know, I'll start with the West. It's kind of strange to say it's going to be the Mavs, Thunder, or Grizzlies in the championship. That's kind of crazy. Honestly, I'd be happy with any of them. I've always been a Dirk Nowitzki fan. I do hope he gets a title before he retires. Also, Rick Carlisle is a great coach. Should have never been fired by the Pacers. Still bitter about that. But the other teams, good, young, exciting teams, I've got nothing wrong with them. You know what's strange? I want to make this comment real quick. The Yankees are kind of like the Lakers to me. And it's really weird to say this. You know, I root for them to lose because I don't like them. But at the same time, if they don't make it very far in the playoffs, it's almost like the playoffs loses a little something. I don't know if you agree here, but for example, every year I hope the Yankees lose, but I still like when they make the playoffs because the playoffs just aren't the playoffs without the Yankees. And I kind of feel that way. I kind of feel like the Western Conference Finals may not be as exciting because I don't have a team that I can really root against. You know what I'm saying? But regardless, I am ready for a new champ to be crowned in the NBA. Another quick.
How would it make you feel if the year after Ron Artest got a ring, Rick Carlisle got a ring as an Indiana Pacers fan? You have to be feeling pretty good about that, right?
Well, a better question is, were you surprised that Ron Artest didn't punch a random fan in that series?
Yeah, you know what? That's the other funny thing, too, is when I saw the headline, I actually missed most of the game today. I was driving back, and when I saw the headline that two Lakers had been ejected, I was shocked to find out that one of them was not Ron Artest.
Well, as far as the East goes, I think the Bulls are probably going to win the next two games and beat the Hawks in six. Maybe Atlanta takes them to seven, but I still like the Bulls in the series. I still think the Heat and Celtics are going to come down to a game seven. And after that, I really don't know who to pick in that game seven with the Celtics' experience. Yeah, they're getting older, but they just continue to prove me wrong when it comes to playoff series. And, you know, like you said...
What about now with Rondo's hurt elbow, though?
Well,
And the Heat have basically gone to a one-man zone with whoever's guarding Rondo sitting in the free throw line.
Yeah, but from what I've heard, they're not sure if he's going to play or not. You know, if he does, they can definitely win game four and make the series very interesting. So we'll see what happens. You know, when it comes to, like, the Eastern Conference Finals, I think it's going to be great, but I really have no idea who to pick out of these teams. No clue. Which is a good thing as a fan.
Okay, well, my modified pick, I'm going to stick with my original pick in the East. I'm still picking the Bulls to come out. I think they're the strongest top to bottom. They have more front court depth than either of these teams. They were able to beat these teams rather handily during the regular season. And with the extended rest that you get in the playoffs, Derrick Rose will be healthier and healthier on that ankle every game we see him play. And I agree with you completely that they'll beat the Hawks in six. That's the great thing about Atlanta is they are absolutely good enough to come out of the Eastern Conference and make the finals, and they are absolutely bad enough to get swept at any point. And that's just the makeup of their team, is they are so athletic and so inconsistent that there's no reliability with them. And then on the West, I've got to go with the hot hand and pick the Mavericks. I think anytime you have a team that is just that hot and has found their groove, I think they're going to make the finals. The only thing I'd say that could hurt them is this extended time off. They have anywhere from 7 to 9 days off now while the Grizzlies and Thunder play it out. And either way, they're going to be playing a team drastically younger than they are. So that time off could cost them game one in that series. And now all of a sudden they've lost home court advantage. So I'll go with the Bulls and Mavericks. And I gotta stick with Chicago. Kankakee, for those of you that don't know where the great city of Kankakee is about 40 miles south of downtown Chicago. So I'm going to go ahead and pick the home team. I'll be a homer, the Bulls, to win the title this year.
Yeah, I mean, I really think they could, but, and this is my final comment about the NBA playoffs for this week's show, I honestly think the winner of Heat-Celtics takes down the Bulls. I don't know. I don't know why they got the MVP. They got a good team. They play good defense. I think it'll be a heck of a series, but for some reason, my gut just tells me the winner of Heat-Celtics is going to the finals, but I could see the Bulls doing it, and I'm excited to see how it unfolds. It's definitely going to be exciting. Tyler talking to you on TY's 20 on WordPress Radio. We're now going to talk a little baseball, and we're going to talk about the NL Central, of course. And my opening statement to you is this. So far, your Cardinals are in first place. It's the only NL Central team that has gotten very far over 500, I believe, to this point. My opinion of this division has not changed through the first month plus of the season. And I know you're going to disagree, but let me finish and then you can talk, of course. I still think the Cardinals are going to end up being a third or fourth place team. I know they've been doing well. I know that Pujols and Carpenter have not been producing, and that will change. But to me, they have a lot of guys over their heads, as the Cardinals often do in the first 2 months. Kyle Loesch, Lance Berkman, Holiday's hitting like 490. Garcia will probably fade at least a little bit compared to what he's doing. And again, I know you'll disagree with me here, but the Cards have always, to me, gotten off to pretty good starts. It's not going to be easy for this team to keep that pace up, even when Albert starts getting hot, because the Wainwright injury, to me, is going to really hurt them eventually. So, with that said, go ahead, give me your Cardinal Kool-Aid response.
Well, let me say this. It has been an absolute joy watching the Cardinals cruise in first place for a while the Cubs have meandered to, what, 4 or 5 games under 500 now?
Just three.
And I'll tell you this much, is I would be deeply concerned about your season if the Cardinals somehow come up and sweep the Cubs this weekend, or this week, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But first off, just about the NL Central as a whole, I like where the Cardinals are at. I am absolutely concerned, not about Pujols. We all know the Pujols will be Pujols, and he'll start to hit eventually. I'm absolutely concerned about Carpenter. And no clue what we're going to get out of him this year and what he has left and if he's going to be the consistent ace that we need him to be in the wake of Wainwright. Now, as much as I'm concerned about Carpenter, I am just as optimistic about Garcia. I think Jaime Garcia is the real deal, barring some catastrophic piss test result, which he actually, the other night after he threw that one hit shutout, he actually got tested right after the game, supposedly random testing by MLB, but that's great. So I think Garcia is a real deal. Berkman looks like the Berkman of old. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to produce. Holiday getting his appendix removed apparently increases your ability to hit by 100 points or so on your average. So say what you want about the NL Central, but the Cardinals haven't lost a series in about a month. The worst we've done is we just split 2-2 with Florida at home. You know, we haven't lost a series in about a month, so I absolutely think we can keep this up. We're on pace to go something like 91 or 92 wins right now. Not sure if we'll do that or not. A lot of it depends on, as he said, how these guys perform in June. I think June is going to be the telling month. We're still going to be without David Freese, and that'll be when Carpenter and Pujols either start to pick it up or they don't, which we all know Pujols will. We don't know if Carpenter will. Lowe's, as you addressed, I think Lowe's is absolutely going to continue at the pace he is. He is going to be a pitcher with around a 3-something ERA.
Well, that's about three times as bad as what he's currently doing. So if he's going to keep the current pace of his 150 ERA, that's not going to happen. That's what I'm saying. Some of these guys, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying they won't produce. I'm saying they won't do what they're currently doing. Well, I called it. I said you'd give me the Kool-Aid response, and that's definitely what I got. You would think the Cardinals are lighting the world on fire. I mean, they're doing pretty good, but let's not get too carried away. They've had a lot of teams that get off to these starts.
Haven't lost a series.
Okay, they're like 19-15. That's not a big deal. They're like a couple games ahead of the 500 teams. And it's so early, and Tony La Russa
started 2-7. If he takes a 2-7 start out.
Yeah, but you can't. You can't.
Since we started 2-7, we are 18-8. I know all the games count the same, but at the bottom line, the Cardinals are 18-8 since their slow start.
Yeah, that happens.
Something to that.
It streaks.
I would absolutely assume that we will continue to win series. And I would even go so far as to make a bet with you on your own podcast that the Cardinals will take at least 2 out of 3 in Chicago this week.
Well, we're going to get to that, but that's kind of pointless. And as are Cardinal fan predictions in the month of May, but we do it anyway for entertainment purposes. Anyway. I'll make sure you remember all these comments about your incredible Cardinals. I'm surprised you didn't say Terrio hit 450 this year. But anyway, just a little Cubs-Cardinals banter going back and forth. I'm going to make this brief like you should have done with your team. The Cubs are who we thought they were so far. Not a good offensive team. A slow start so far. The 3 under .500. It's going to be quite a bit better when Wells and Castro come back. There's no denying that. Pena's finally starting to hit home runs. Ramirez always gets hotter when the weather gets hotter. Hopefully that'll be the case this year. To me, this team looks like what I predicted, a 500-type club, unless they can make a deal or catch some breaks. I'm not sure how likely either of those are. We'll see what happens, but if they can hang around, this division absolutely blows, and if you can be 500 at the break, you'll probably be within 5 games, because that would mean the leader of the division's about 10 games over, so and that's very realistic to think that, so if they can hang around that, who knows what'll happen. So the question will be, can they hang around? For me, I actually have written down the Cubs card series this week. They meet for the first time. Previewing the matchup real quickly, Tuesday is a great matchup of Zambrano and Carpenter. Wednesday, it's Garza and Westbrook. Thursday, it's Garcia versus Coleman. Coleman, of course, being our sixth starter. For whatever reason, the Cubs have been a better road team in the Mike Quatty era, I should say, and for the last couple seasons. So I, too, am taking the Cardinals to win 2. I think they'll win games 1 and 3 in the series. However, a rivalry, anything can happen. You can throw the pitching matchups out the window. The Cubs could end up winning game 1 of the series and dropping the next 2. They could win the first 2. You know, you never know. You just never know. You've already picked the Cards 2 out of 3, and you've babbled long enough about that team. So let's get to our final topic, because we're almost out of time anyway. Last topic of the day, real quick. Baseball playoff expansion. What is your take on the proposition of adding a team? And Selig says they may want to have them play a play-in game or a 3-game series and have 2 wild cards. What do you think?
I'm not opposed to it, depending on how it shakes out. Really.
Hey, no coughing on the podcast.
What's that?
No coughing on a live podcast.
I think it all depends on how it breaks out. As far as a 1-game playoff, I'm not really in favor of that. I don't think that really does either of those teams justice after 118-game season to have it all come down to one day. I like the idea of having four teams. I like the idea of having two wild card teams, in each, and then having the two. I don't even know how to explain it. What I'm trying to explain right now. Bottom line, I want the first round to be a 3-game series. And I want the second round to be a 5-game series, and then the championship can be a 7-game series.
All right, that's.
How about 3-5-7? What do you say?
That's an interesting take. I'm actually going to go the complete opposite way here. I don't mind it only being four teams in each league that make it. But the first round series has got to change to a 7-game series. To me, it's a little ridiculous to be 5 games. There's too much pressure put on the home team in game one of a 5-game series. You work hard from February to the beginning of October. So many games, a grueling season. You play bad for 1 weekend, you throw it all away. You know, if there is an expansion, it better be at least.
Are you still bitter about the Cubs playoff experiences?
No, I don't think it would have mattered. But I am saying, if there is an expansion, it better be a 3-game series, not a 1-game play-in. A 1-game play-in, unless you tie in the season, is just insanely stupid. I mean, here, I'm going to throw my ace against yours, whoever pitches better. You win the game, you make the playoffs, and it's just stupid. You keep 4 teams, you make every series 7 games. If you do add an expansion, I'm still in favor of 7-game series in the other 2 rounds, and the first round's got to be a best-of-3. But imagine your team wins the wild card, they get it locked up, and then some team that's 5 games behind them gets a chance to play you, and they take you down in a 1-game playoff. You're going to be pretty ticked off. But whatever is best for baseball, we'll see what shakes up. Hopefully, C-League doesn't screw it up too much.
I think one thing you and I can both agree on is that all 3 of our sports that we love and care about, football, basketball, baseball, need a new commissioner at the major league level.
Yeah, I'll take one, you take one, and we'll give the other one to Eason or somebody.
Eason, for those of you that don't know, is a very well-informed single available, and from what I've been told, quite dateable and quite often with directions, especially finding restaurants like his favorite eatery, Odie and Emmy's, that T.Y. and I like to pick on from time to time.
Yep, good times, good times. Well, we are out of time. Speaking of time, so we're going to have to say goodbye. Parting is such sweet sorrow. You keep rooting on those Cardinals, who will definitely eventually fade. Lucky for you, they will have a chance in this crappy division, but they're not even close to what you think they are, as usual. So that's my parting shot.
And you keep stalking those Facebook girls, and you're not even as close as you are, just as usual.
Careful, some people might be listening. All right, man, take it easy. We'll talk to you next time. Here's where you say goodbye.
Thanks for having me, and have a good night.
That's all the time we got on this week's show. I can assure all you Cub fans that we won't be talking that much about the Cardinals in the coming weeks. You gotta love the optimism of that fan base, but my goodness, it's quite unrealistic at times. I'm not saying the Cardinals can't win this division, but I am saying that every time they do anything good at all, their fans absolutely go nuts. They could be 10 games under 500, and they would still predict them to win the World Series. But anyway, it's all in good fun. That's part of the rivalry. We're going to talk more Cubs, along with, of course, other things in the sports world in coming weeks. Hope you join us. As Harry Carey would say, only the shadow knows. Take care. We'll see you next week.